Game Show is live at Corner Pub in Cool Springs. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders hanging out here. We'll get to the four most important stories today in the Titans-Seahawks game. But first, scores around the NFL. The Panthers up 17-0 on the Saints. Who dat won by 30 last week? And they're down 17-0. They have no coaches because of COVID. But they're down 17-0. The Bears up 7-0 over the Bengals late in the second quarter. The Texans, Chris Sanders, Texans, Mark.
My God.
The Texans and the Browns are tied at 14. Chris Sanders thinks the Texans are going to be good this year.
Okay.
The Rams lead the Colts. This is the one that we're going to be keeping our eyes on most, obviously. The Rams lead the Colts 10-6 at the half. Broncos 10, Jaguars 7. That game with 1 minute to go in the first. Bills 14-0 over the Dolphins. Patriots up 10-3 over the Jets. Eagles up 3-0 over the 49ers. And the Steelers lead the Raiders 7-6, though the Raiders are driving all the games here at Corner Pub and all the Corner Pubs, but this Corner Pub specifically, because we're watching all of them. It reminds me, Chris and I were joking about this off air. When we would do the later pregame shows with the late game, getting Floyd's attention to talk on the pregame show sometimes is a little bit of a problem.
Oh, my God.
Because he'd always be, like, dialed into some random play and Saints, Panthers, and so on and so forth. But it's time now as we get ready for the Titans and the Seahawks. It's time to move the chains with the four biggest stories. And we start moving the chains. It's brought to you by my official movers, TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. First down, Mark Howard. Titan fans are worried that they may have a coordinator problem after not having a defensive coordinator technically last year. We found out Shane Bowen called the plays and ran the defense. He returns. Fans not happy with that performance from the defense in week one. Kyler Murray, 5 touchdowns. And Todd Downing, in his first game as offensive coordinator with the Titans, left a lot to be desired offensively today against the Seahawks. What do we think about the Titan coordinators and the situation they're in?
Well, I'm watching Downing more than I am, the other side of the ball, to be honest with you. I didn't think the problems on defense were schematic. They were just, bad performances. But offensively, I didn't like the game that Downing called. As I mentioned, eschewing play action. He's got to figure out a way to get Derrick Henry going. It doesn't always have to be running him on first down. So, Downing's got to clean it up a little bit. Otherwise, he's going to be in everybody's crosshairs.
I don't think it's fair to really put down Todd Downing. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you look at the plays that he had to call, he was consistently behind the chains. When you give Henry the ball on the first play of the game, now it's 2nd and 13. I mean, there's not too many calls you can make. I understand that, he's the coordinator, but there's so many things you can do. And I think the one thing we can't do is compare him to Arthur Smith. I mean, you can't do it. They're totally different guys. They may, schematically, they might be the same, but you just can't do that. But I think on the defensive side, when you have Shane Bowen, the consistent thing that we keep talking about is getting off on third down and getting to the quarterback. That's something that you put in, and the guys have to make sure they implement that. So I just think that we got to give both of these coordinators time. If they come out and the same thing happens against the Seattle Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars, then now we start to look and say maybe it's the coordinator's problem.
Well, but one of the reasons why they were playing behind the chains was because Downing was terrible with his calls on first down.
He was putting
his offense behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but on the first play of the game, when you give it to Henry, when that defense has so much pressure and they're in the backfield, it's 2nd and 13. So, what do you do? Because everybody wants to see Henry get the ball and have him, make them explosive plays, but you can't make explosive plays when you have 6 or 7 guys in your face. I just think that it's tough as a play caller to when it's 2nd and 13 as opposed to being 2nd and 5. That's totally different.
The one thing I would say about the offensive play calling is I don't know who can call good plays with a bad offensive line. And you brought up, don't compare him to Arthur Smith.
Right.
Remember when Arthur Smith took over, they didn't have a right guard.
Right.
Nate Davis was hurt. Kevin Pamfield was hurt. They had Jameel Douglas playing right guard. And I think we all remember that game on a Thursday night in Jacksonville where Calais Campbell had about 13 sacks. Mm-hmm. Calais Campbell did on that Thursday night in Jacksonville everything that Chandler Jones did last week. I mean, I'm not here to defend Downing. It was one game.
Right.
And I thought Downing needed to do more to help his tackles out because they were getting just eaten alive by that pass rush from Arizona. And if they don't help out the tackles this week, the Titans are going to get eaten alive by that pass rush with Seattle. But I'm more worried about Bowen. Defense was awful last year. Defense wasn't good on Sunday against Arizona. And this week is Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson. And so if you go out there and play that way against these guys, they'll hang 50 on you in that stadium.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to the offensive line, I was kind of watching them. Number one, they weren't communicating. I mean, Jones is the quarterback of that offensive line. He's the center of the Tennessee Titans. He's got to communicate. You know, what's the front? What is it? Is it Oki? Is it 3-4? Whatever it is, he's got to communicate. I didn't see a lot of those guys communicate. And then the second thing, technique-wise, the technique was awful. We keep talking about, you know, guys not practicing and this and that, and it sounds cute, oh, we want to save them for the game. But you saw that when you don't have practice, you don't get reps, and you don't do those things, your technique is going to be behind the A-ball. We saw that with LaJuan. We saw that all across the board because guys weren't in practice. Guys were just sitting on the sidelines, and they were not getting those reps that they need to accommodate the speed of the game.
Listen, offensively, the Titans have to get back to who they are. I think it's going to be hampered by the injury to Firkser.
Wow.
You know, him not playing today, I think is a huge thing. And again, you know, points at John Robinson not sufficiently addressing the tight end position. They're going to have to depend on Michael Pruitt, Jeff Swaim. Hudson got put back on the roster.
He did.
You know, that's not exactly a recipe for success.
But see, even with that, I agree with you 100% with Todd Downing, especially with Firkser being out. Now it's going to depend on what formations he's going to put those guys in. Is he going to go a 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends? He can't do that because Firkser is out. Or are you going to go more of a spread of 10 personnel, a one back, a zero tight end, and four wide receivers and put your playmakers on the field? So I want to see what's going to happen with Firkser being out.
I'm bothered because I don't think the Titans have a starting tight end on their roster.
True.
I don't think they have a tight end. That takes us to second down. Julio Jones.
Oh.
They don't need a tight end. They don't need a right tackle. They don't need because they got Julio Jones. Three catches for 29 yards, two drops, one that led to an interception, and a 15-yard penalty that the coach criticized vehemently. Vehemently criticized Chris Sanders on Monday after the game. How worried are we about Julio Jones? What do we think about Julio Jones today against the Seahawks?
You know, we talked about this earlier when we were thinking about Julio Jones, and the one thing I was concerned about, can he handle the adversity? Can he handle things like this? Is he going to handle, say if he goes against the Seattle Seahawks and he has another bad game, how is he going to respond? Is he going to be a good teammate? Is he going to still listen to the coaches? Because you better believe, and just being a player, if you get called out by the head coach, I'm not saying he called him out. I guess that Mike Vrabel says, he says that across the board, but he was directing it to Julio Jones. So it all depends on how he handles it. So if he goes out there and make plays and makes two touchdowns, catch seven balls for 150 yards, everybody's going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Then now we got the Julio Jones we want. But say he catches two balls, he drops two balls, he gets an interception, and he gets another personal foul. What are we going to start to say? Is he a good teammate? Can he make plays? Or is this the guy that we want to be a part of this team?
Mark, does the name Carl Pickens enter your mind at all whenever it comes to all the hype around Julio Jones?
Well,
right now?
I was on your show Thursday with Caroline, and that's what I said. Starts to look like Carl Pickens 2.0, that a guy who had a great career with one team, in that case the Bengals, and Carl Pickens had a borderline Hall of Fame career in Cincinnati, and he got here and his hamstrings were gone. Chris will tell you.
Yeah. He just wasn't a good teammate. I mean,
Chris,
I know,
Chris does not like Carl Pickens.
No, I'm still mad at that dude today because when he came in, we both had 81, right? He said he wanted to fight me to get my 81. I said, hey, dog, hey, I may not be big, I may not be strong, but I can throw these hands.
Wow, way to stand up for your number.
Thank you. And then he didn't do anything. Listen, and I'm not being mean or anything. You want a guy to be a great stinking teammate. You want him to be a good teammate. You want a guy that says, you know what, you may catch five balls, I may catch two, but I'm not mad. But I think that if it keeps going like it is and coach calls him out again and he catches three balls for 29 like he did last year, he's not going to be a happy camper.
You think there's any hope here with Julio Jones?
Yeah, I'm not throwing him overboard yet, but it was not an inspiring start. You want to send somebody to take the piano off his back because he looks slow.
He did.
And that a lot of times, and Chris will tell you, a lot of times when you look slow out there, it's because you're not comfortable or familiar with the scheme. I know routes are routes and all that, but they got to play faster too.
Yep.
That was a huge thing. It looked like they were playing underwater last week.
And just like what LeJuan said, he said it felt like he was in quicksand. I mean, when you feel like that as a player, that's going to be tough. And going back to Julio Jones, when you talk about older, he's not playing as fast, it goes back to Randy Moss. When Randy Moss came here, he's a speed guy, but he lost a little bit of his speed, so now he had to run routes. Same thing with Julio Jones. Now, instead of him beating guys deep, he's got to run routes. you can't just get away with your speed now, and they give you 7 or 8 yards cushion. When they come up in pressure, you got to run routes now.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Third down, Derrick Henry could not get going against Arizona. Couple that with his performance that I think shocked a lot of us against the Ravens in the playoffs, and that's two sub-70-yard games in a row for Derrick Henry. We expect 100, 150, 200 yards. The Seahawks had the fifth-best rush defense in the NFL a year ago. They held Jonathan Taylor in check last week in Indianapolis. Bunch of defensive linemen for Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. Chris Sanders,
yes,
how worried are we about Derrick Henry right now?
I'm not worried. I know he's going to bounce back, but I think the scheme of the Arizona Cardinals were really, really good. Is what they did is they shot different guys in A and B gap and made Henry run side to side. I mean, when you get Henry run side to side, he's not as explosive, and you can just hit his legs and he falls. So I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to do exactly the same. They're going to, maybe blitz a linebacker or maybe blitz a safety in A or B gap to make him go side to side. So I think that it goes back to Todd Downing. He's got to make sure he puts Henry in a position to be successful. If they run the outside zone, they got to make sure they have an extra blocker or somebody, for somebody, if somebody shoots that A and B gap.
Listen, you knew that at some point somebody was going to try to, neutralize Henry, and they hit him behind the line.
Yep.
And by doing that, they slowed him up. But, Henry's always been a great runner after contact, and I think they'll adjust. But I thought that Arizona did a lot of good things. They set the edge, because they know that Henry doesn't mind turning it wide. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that they executed their defensive game plan to perfection. And if the Titans aren't effective, if the Titans get behind, that sort of, I don't say it eliminates Derrick Henry from the equation, but it certainly reduces his effectiveness. So, just another reason why you don't want to fall behind or fall behind big.
Yeah, and then it just goes back, falls on Todd Downing again, is what formation is going to give him the best way to be successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it boils down to, because the formations that they were in, Arizona was right there to fill the gaps and make sure they stop Henry behind the line of scrimmage.
And that takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Kicker. So the Titans have more kickers that have been on the team over the last couple of years that are making field goals for other teams than they do guys on their team that can actually kick. So Michael Badgley signed into Sunday's game, misses a kick, misses an extra point. He's gone. Randy Bullock, longtime veteran, is now in as the kicker of the Titans. And I'm not sure he'll have a very long leash either, but Mark Howard, this is a team that just, no matter what they can do, just do not get it right at the kicker position.
Yeah, and Bullock's like one of those relief pitchers in Major League Baseball, who's on a different team, every year.
David Weathers.
Yeah. There are even better examples. Joaquin Soria. I mean, I could go through a litany of guys. But the point is, again, the Titans' casualness with approaching kicker. And I think it's ridiculous. And I think it's come back to bite them. And to me, it has weakened this roster.
I just think that the Tennessee Titans are getting a guy instead of the guy. I mean, when I played with the Tennessee Titans, Del Greco wasn't the guy. He was the guy. He was a guy that you can definitely, depend on. You can't just get a guy and say, okay, we'll just fill the spot. I mean, you can't do that, because it's always going to come down to an extra point or a field goal. I mean, just look at the guy that they signed out. I think it's Randy Bullock.
Yep.
This is what scares me. He played 107 NFL games. He's 168 for 202 in field goals. I mean, what's the difference between him and Bagley? I mean, there's no difference. But you got, and I'm not disrespecting any coach, and I'm not putting the organization down, but you got to make this a priority. Just like you have a receiver in A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, you made it a preference to get an explosive player. You got to get a player at that position that you can definitely count on. And the reason why we as fans and a lot of people are uneasy about the field goal kicker is because he's unknown and we don't know him.
Do we think that at any point this kicking situation can be about coaching? Because I think it's easy. People look at field goal kicker like, yeah, just come in and nobody coaches a kicker what to do. Just kick the ball. But all these guys have left the Titans and are making field goals on other teams. Ryan Succop's making field goals on other teams. Ryan Santoso's making field goals.
Well,
Cairo Santos, Cody Parkey. All these guys are making field goals that have been kicking here and can't kick. And Aukerman just keeps running. And I think Aukerman's a terrible special teams coach. And they just keep running out a new kicker, and he keeps missing. And it's like, the ninth kicker sucked. Like, at what point do the Titans need to look in the mirror?
Well, I don't think it's really that, because for the most part, Aukerman, I don't think, does a lot of on-the-field coaching when it comes to his kickers. Maybe a little. You know, that they might tweak a guy. That's why they brought in James Wilhoit,
mm-hmm.
who's a place-kicking specialist. But if you look back through history, it wasn't so much that a lot of these guys were ineffective. You know, Succop got hurt. I mean, that's what it came down
sure,
to.
Sure.
And some of the others... Who is it? Was it Greg Bishop?
Greg Joseph.
Greg Joseph, yeah. Rather. Yeah, they just decided not to bring him back. He never really got a chance.
No, he was terrible. He went to training camp last year. Floyd went to one training camp practice. You know, he's a longtime special teams coach. He comes up to my house and goes, I just saw the kickers, cut them both. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean cut them both? He goes, cut them both.
Yeah.
I say, you know, Dave McGinnis told me that you can't have instant analysis in training camp on something like that. And he goes, I watched him miss from 35. Then I watched him try again and miss from 35. You missed once, okay, fine, make the adjustment, hit the ball. And he missed a third time.
Yeah.
And he was like, and to me, I feel like Steven Goskowski, now we know his best days are behind him when he kicked last year for the Titans.
Yeah.
But Steven Goskowski was one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the National Football League. And he can't kick here. And I'm wondering if it's something about the way Aukerman's coaching it that is keeping them. Because, I mean, think about every other phase of special teams.
True.
They don't block any punts. They don't return any punts. They don't return any kickoffs. They're not great stopping people from returning punts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, special teams is a joke. The only thing they can do is they can fake it. They can fake it, you know, throwing the ball. They've done it now three times. But, I mean, the special teams here is a joke, and kicker is the one that stands out the most, in my opinion.
But do you think – the one, and I want to kind of elaborate on this too, because I think you can't coach pressure. And I think that when a kicker comes here, there's just a lot of pressure because, you know, the way Mike Vrabel puts pressure on his players. So some people can handle that and some people can't. So when you see these kickers that kicked here and then they go to different places and kick better – maybe it's because there's less pressure as opposed to Mike Vrabel puts on the players.
Good news. The Rams just scored a touchdown to go up 17-6 in Indianapolis. So, of course, comes to worst. Chances are Indy's probably 0-2 coming here.
Yeah.
And the Titans, if they don't win today, will be 0-2 facing Indianapolis. And unless Chris Sanders is miraculously right and the Houston Texans are actually a good team, you know, you can at least still feel decent about the situation surrounding the division.
Oh,
by the way, the Texans, tied 14-14 with Cleveland, have put Davis Mills, the rookie from Stanford, in at quarterback. Tyrod Taylor out,
is
Davis
he?
Mills in.
Oh.
So make that one of your Texans squad, Chris Anders, but we are there. Moving the Chains is presented by TriStar Moving, my official movers, TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. We'll take a look inside the playbook. We'll take a look offensively for the Titans, and we'll do that next as they get set to take on the Seattle Seahawks today in Seattle. We're live from Corner Pub here on the pregame show. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Offensive Playbook is presented by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Some scores around the NFL. Raiders lead the Steelers 9-7 that game in the third quarter. Texans and Browns tied up at 14. Bills up 14-0 over the Dolphins. And the one we're closely paying attention to, the Rams up 17-6 on Indianapolis. Carson Wentz looks like he still stinks. Okay, inside the offensive playbook, Chris Sanders, let's start with you. The offense couldn't block last week. Uh-huh. They couldn't run the ball. They didn't really try to run the ball. They had no play action passing. Mm-hmm. They couldn't catch the ball. They had one guy you could make an argument for that had a good game on offense, and that's Chester Rogers. And I'm not even going to say he had a good game.
Right.
So where does the offense go from here against the Seahawks defense that might actually be better than Arizona's?
I agree with Mark Howard. It starts with the offensive line. I mean, you got Luan, you got Saffold, you got Davis going against Green, Ford, Dunlap, and Wagner. Wagner's the outside linebacker. But the one thing they have to do is start fast. I mean, they have to put like a 12 or 13 play drive and also get your ball to the playmakers. You got to get to Julio Jones. You got to get it to A.J. Brown. And even Chess is a part of that mix too. So they got to start up fast. But the thing that we really definitely have to do is we got to be physical. I mean, I understand we got to do all these things, play action, get the, you know, the players the ball. But if you don't be physical, it's not going to happen. Because if you look at Seattle front is physical. They're going to hit you in the mouth. They got linebackers that are fast. They control the edge pretty good. So if the Tennessee Titans can control the edge and impose their will, I think they can be successful on the outside with the receivers making plays.
Well, I also think that the Titans offensive linemen have to do a good job of keeping the Seattle D linemen from freeing Bobby Wagner to being a tackling machine. And then you got on the third level Jamal Adams, who's just phenomenal against the run. This is not a great run defense we're talking about. The Titans should have some success. So you got to believe that the Titans are going to go back to smash mouth football today until the Seahawks stop them, and they've got to change accordingly.
And I think in the quarterback position, I think Tannehill has a protected football.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at last week,
that was terrible, by the way.
Oh, man.
That fumble's inexcusable.
Absolutely.
He
had two of them.
Yeah, but the one with Chandler Jones coming
out,
trying to get rid of the ball, you got to take that sack.
Absolutely. You just got to take it and eat it and live for another down, because that was a knock on him coming from Miami. He consistently, when he gets hit, he loses the football.
He's got small hands.
He's got small hands. But he just got to protect the football, but also he's got to look at the one thing. I know. How you know he got small hands?
Because they measure them at the combine. They're small.
So does Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater's not the greatest at holding on to the football either.
Oh. What in Sam Eel?
Small hands, big heart.
I'll just tell you what Floyd told me mattered about small hands. I said it about Tannehill trying to throw in Green Bay, and everybody got mad at me. I was like, whatever. I'm going to say this about Tannehill.
Yeah.
I think Tannehill's got to rise up a little bit.
Absolutely.
When everybody else is sucking it up, I think Tannehill's got to rise the team up a little bit. You know, I mean, everybody tells me that Tannehill, you're good enough to win a Super Bowl with Tannehill. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. He ain't Mahomes. But he's also not Andy Dalton. That I think we can all agree on. But at some point when everybody – that is the quarterback job. That's why he makes $30 million. Mm-hmm. Because when everybody else is struggling, the quarterback has to lift the team up. And Mark Howard, I looked at Tannehill last week, and I don't feel like he ever really did that.
How could he when he's got two defensive linemen?
No, three.
He had Chandler Jones as his constant companion. I don't agree with that. I know he didn't play well, but Tannehill's a guy who needs a good coordinator. I don't think he can rise above his coordinator. And I think the lack of play action hurt them too. And I just don't think, the essence of coaching is supposed to be to put your guys in the best possible position to succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't think Todd Downing did it. And I thought one of his biggest mistakes was what he did with his quarterback.
You know, I mean, I agree with you a little bit, but I think a little bit of that was the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they played a great game, and when he tried to do the play action or those naked boots, there was somebody there waiting for him. So that's kind of tough. I mean, I know, a lot of people want to blame Todd Downing, but also it was just a great scheme by the Arizona Cardinals. They did a great job. They took away the play action. They took away your big dogs on the outside. So what can you do? I mean, you just got to find different ways to make plays.
What percentage would you say Arizona played a great game, and what percentage would you say the Titans played a bad game?
I say the Arizona Cardinals, 85%.
You don't think the Titans deserve more blame than 15%?
Absolutely not. They were bringing it. They were physical. I mean, you got to look at the innuendos in the grimy part. They were physical at the line of scrimmage. They played
a
great scheme.
I'm not knocking, but, like, the Titans were awful.
Yeah, but it was because.
I mean, that's, like, got to be more 60-40.
Because the Arizona Cardinals were bringing it. I mean, seriously, I understand that everybody's mad at the Tennessee Titans because the lack of plays and a lack of what they were doing. But if you go back and you sit there and you look at the game, they were flying everywhere. They just had a great scheme. The coaching staff did a great job. And they had, like, when somebody was running the ball or catching the ball, there's six or seven hits on the ball.
I so disagree with that. I think if they had played the Jets on Sunday, they'd have gotten walloped the way they went out there.
No, man. It's just that Arizona played the complete game.
Wow, your levels of empathy are right up there with Dr. Phil, but I thought the Titans stunk last week, and I thought that was one of the primary reasons why Arizona played so well.
What about A.J. Brown? Because A.J. had a touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. I mean, A.J., I think that, you know, until Julio proves that he's a number one, mm-hmm. they got to feed the ball to A.J. Brown. Tannehill said this week, I'm not feeding the ball to anybody. I'm throwing it to the open guy. Do we think Tannehill needs to change his approach?
I mean, it all depends on who's open, but the guy that he's been looking for is Chester Rogers. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he's been looking for Chester Rogers is because in the preseason, that's who he could depend on. Can he depend on Julio Jones? He knows he can depend on A.J. Brown, but everybody's going back with what Julio did in Atlanta and making those big plays. I want to get it in my mind that is he even the same player? Can he get off the press? Can he make those big-time catches? I want to see that because we really didn't get a chance to see it in preseason because he wasn't playing in the preseason games and he was sitting out in practice. We need Julio Jones because it frees up everybody and it makes everybody better.
Coming up, we'll switch sides. We'll take a look at the defensive side of the ball. We'll do that next. We are live at the Corner Pub in Cool Springs getting you set for Titans and Seahawks, still 17-6. L.A. Rams over the Indianapolis Colts, that game at Lucas Oil Stadium. Titans really could use a Colts loss today and a surprise Titans win. And Chris Sanders, Houston Texans, tied with the Cleveland Browns 14-14 midway through the third. We'll take a look at the rest of the scores and take a look at the other side of the ball on defense. We'll do that next. It's a pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the defensive side of the ball. Again, presented by E2 Roofing. Inside the playbook, brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Mark Howard, I don't think the Titans defense gave the defense much of a chance on Sunday against Arizona, but it is a tall task today with Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson, and the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Titans. How do we feel about the Titans defense today?
Well, I thought that there were times last week where the Titans defense did everything right and Kyler Murray just pulled a play out of his shorts. So let's be clear with that. You know, sometimes you got to be fair. But I also thought too that Elijah Molden was exposed for his lack of speed, and that's going to come home to roost when somebody has to cover Lockett. And Jackrabbit Jenkins was constantly beaten. You know, we're seeing a guy in the back end of his career, and you know darn well that Russell Wilson is going to pick on him today. So you're going to, you know, they got a lot of problems, not only with, with Lockett and Metcalf, but also their tight ends.
Yes.
They got Gerald Everett from the Rams, and he's been terrific.
I thought the Titans should have gone after him in the offseason.
And Disley, the other tight end, is really good too. So, you know, that I think is definitely going to be a storyline today, is trying to slow down that offense. They're dinged up a little bit on the offensive line. They lost their starting center. They lost Cherry, you know, one of their running backs. But, you know, Carson is their main running back. But Seattle's offense looked really explosive against a pretty good Colts defense last week.
You know, I just think the key is, we've been saying this for the last 2,000 years, is we got to get off on third down. I mean, they have to get off on third down, and I think that's been the Achilles heel for the Tennessee Titans defense. And then number two, they got to put pressure on Wilson. But you got to be smart when you put pressure, because one thing that he does is he extends the pocket and he's looking at his second and his third and his fourth receiver. So that's what makes it so special. But if we can do those little things, I know it sounds simple, but the Tennessee Titans have struggled doing that. But they got to do those two things. They got to get off on third down, and they got to put pressure on Russell Wilson. Then another thing that I really want to focus on, kind of what Mark Howard was talking about, is the secondary. I mean, the secondary is struggling. I don't know if Farley would help the secondary. Everybody's talking about he's a good cover guy. We haven't seen that. But I just think that we need a shutdown corner. We need a guy that's nasty. I'm not saying Jack Rabbit Jenkins is not that guy, but he's getting exposed. We saw that on the first play of the game with the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Hopkins beats him off the line of scrimmage, and he slips and falls. Mm-hmm. And then he beats him again in the end zone. He slips and falls again, and Hopkins makes an outstanding catch. We need a guy that's going to step up and say, I want to be the guy to go against their best receiver and shut him down, and I don't think we have that guy.
Well, I thought that Christian Fulton was decent last week.
Sure.
But beyond that, you know, Mulvin, I thought, got exposed a yep. little bit. They lost Hooker, you know, their other safety. You know, Byard, it's going to be interesting to see the chess game between him and Wilson. I thought Byard played well last week, had an interception. But, yeah, they bring in McDougal, you know, who's basically a street free agent, which, again, makes you wonder, you know, where's Dane Cruikshank?
I know.
They drafted him three years ago, and he hasn't done very much. And certainly, you know, isn't there when they really need him, you know, which makes it really frustrating. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy today.
And we talked about, we were doing the draft this past year, and when they picked Farley, me and you looked at each other like, what in the Sammy Hill is
you
going
had,
on?
You had the largest meltdown you've ever had in five years.
I disagree. I think ultimately you're going to be happy they took Farley.
But he says something.
I mean, they better be happy that they took Farley ultimately, or else they're going to be in a lot of trouble after their first-round pick a year ago. And, I mean, defensively, here's the other thing. We talk about Julio, and when you invest in Julio, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to get production. Mm-hmm. Well, when you invest in Bud Dupree,
absolutely,
you're going to have to get some. You're going to have to get something today from Bud Dupree.
Yeah, and then another guy we got from Indianapolis Colts is Autry.
Mm-hmm.
Autry's one of those guys that eats up double teams. So those stars that you just named, they need to shine in this game. They have to, because those are the guys that are going to have to make plays. And with Farley, the only thing that concerns me, Mark Howard, is he said this in one of his press conferences. He said that he doesn't have that quick twitch move. That's scary as a cornerback. And I understand he's good at pressing, he can turn, but if you don't have that quick twitch, you're going to get beaten in this league.
Farley, by the way, out today with a shoulder injury.
Dang, what's going on?
So Farley had a back injury that we know about when they drafted him. Uh-huh. Now Farley's got a shoulder injury, which is not a good sign. He is out today, and we'll be keeping an eye on Bud Dupree as to whether or not he plays with a knee injury.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make a summary judgment on Farley. Yeah, we knew that it might take him a little while to get up to full speed, but it is a frustrating aspect. Mm-hmm. Of the Titans roster building, that all their first and second round draft picks are sort of projects. You know, Raiden's, you know, eventually I know is going to be out there, but why can't they pick a guy, a plug and play guy?
You mean like Jack when they Cochran picked A.J. Brown?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I look at the Titans defense and I do wonder this, and that is Todd Downing got most of the criticism for last week's performance. Mm-hmm. Shane Bowen got a ton of criticism for last year's performance. Mm-hmm. Mark Howard, how long until there's talk about whether or not Vrabel should make the move to Jim Schwartz?
Oh, it's week two. I mean, come on.
But he was bad last year.
It sounded like days of our lives already.
USC just fired their head coach after week two.
Yeah, but they don't do they do things a little differently in this league.
Especially
Brady. And Clay Helton was pretty much, you know, on the edge of the cliff anyway. So yeah.
How many weeks until they start talking about making a move to Schwartz?
You'll have to get halfway into the season before you do that.
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry about that.
I don't think you'll ever see Vrabel make that move.
Yeah, but if you keep switching coordinators, you're gonna keep switching philosophies, and they coach different. Schwartz coaches different than Shane Bowen.
Well, that's not true. You'll coach the same scheme. You might coach
that's what I'm saying
differently as a person.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying in technique-wise. I love you, Mark.
I just don't. I mean, if they can't get off the field on third down, absolutely, they don't get a pass rush, everyone's coming for Bowen. And I'm not saying they should. Yes. It's fair. He wasn't the coordinator last year, but he was the coordinator last year.
Yeah.
And they were dog hurl. And so you go from that to being still bad this year, and they made all these moves for all these new people, and I don't know if they're any good. Jack Rabbit Jenkins and Christian Fulton and Elijah Molden and Bud Dupree and Danico Autry. And they brought all these new guys in because, you know, Clowney and Beasley were the problem last year. And then all of a sudden, if it's the same scheme and you're getting the same results, then you got to make a change. Now, they won't do it, but they got to make a change. Vrabel will never admit that he screwed this up if Bowen is actually that bad.
Well, the thing, I disagree with your tact on that. And that is, I thought where Vrabel screwed up last year was creating unnecessary drama.
Yes.
Mm. Instead of just naming Bowen defensive coordinator and leaving it at that, he had to, like, hide him. Like, you needed a shadow coordinator.
But that's what Belichick does.
Yeah, but everybody sort of knows what's going on.
I don't think anybody knows who's calling the defense now for the Patriots.
No, Stephen Belichick is good.
Well, sometimes they say it's him. Sometimes they say it's Mayo.
It's Gerard Mayo.
And one time I asked Floyd about it, and Floyd said, Bill, you know Bill's really calling it. I'm like, actually, I don't think Bill is calling it.
Well, that might be the case. But Bill Belichick, has got a few more pelts on his wall. And Mike Vrabel, you know, is off to a very solid start as a head coach. But I just don't think he needs to be doing this. I just thought it created unnecessary drama. I'm a lot less concerned about Todd Downing than I am about...
You mean Shane Bowen than you are Todd Downing?
No, I'm a lot more concerned about Downing than I am about Shane Bowen.
Yeah.
I think the defense eventually will be better. We'll be fine.
I hope you're
right. But could it be the players, though? I mean, because...
Yeah.
He switched them out.
I know. I'm just saying. But if you're putting these guys in position to make plays and they're not making plays, does that fall on the scheme or does it fall on the coaches? That's what I'm saying. I'm asking.
I think you're going to start seeing some finger pointing. We talked about this last year. You know, front office and coaching
it's going to get terrible.
Who are the issues? And, you know, the defense can right the wrong by taking care of Russell Wilson and the Seahawks today. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel has his keys to the game, plus who's out. See some big names if they're out for the Titans and who could be out for the Seahawks as well. Let's take a look, by the way, at our scoreboard. By the way, this just in, Carson Wentz still stinks. The Saints trail the Panthers 17-0 in the third quarter. Jameis Winston revival tour maybe taking a little bit of a detour here. The Bears up 7-3 over the Bengals. The Browns up 21-14 on Chris's Texans. The Broncos up 17-7 over Urban Meyer and the Jags. At the half, the Bills 14-0 over the Dolphins. The Patriots all over the Jets 19-3. The 49ers up 7-3 on Philadelphia. The Raiders 16, Steelers 7. And the one we're obviously keeping an eye on, Indianapolis trying to move inside the Rams 10. They trail currently 17-12. So they just scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay. So Carson Wentz, as I talked about how bad he stinks, just threw a touchdown pass to Zach Pascal, and they trail 17-12. Two-point attempt pending. This is the pregame show live from Corner Pub in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corner Pub in Cool Springs. We'll get to Mike Vrabel's keys in just a second. Teron Davenport will be with us. Chris Sanders,
yes,
Mark
sir.
Howard here on the pregame show. The inactives are out for the Titans, and we got some big names to discuss. Out for the Titans today, left tackle Taylor Lewan tweaking a knee in warmups. Remember, coming off of the torn ACL and the terrible game on Sunday, Taylor Lewan out for the Titans today. Linebacker Jayon Brown out for the Titans today. Tight end Anthony Firkser out for the Titans today. Wide receiver Cam Batson, corner Caleb Farley, and outside linebacker Derek Roberson all inactive today. So the Titans are going to go to Seattle
and win
with no left tackle, no right tackle, no starting tight end, no backup tight end because Firkser's out, and no Jayon Brown.
And they're going to win. No. I'm jokingly saying that. And the reason why I say that is because you remember When 12 or 13 guys had COVID, they had a situation
they
worse
than
against the Bills.
Against the Bills. So
except that was here.
I know. I'm just trying to get a fan some a comfort level here, man.
Don't start writing a Disney movie here.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but, you know, the one thing about Vrabel, he's built for this. He's been through the adversity. He's been through all the stuff. He did that last year with all the COVID and all that stuff, and they beat Buffalo, a good Buffalo Bills team, so you never know what might happen.
This reminds me of a couple of years ago, this game also being here. The Titans were getting set to take on the Texans. They had no tackles. Mariota was out.
Right.
And somehow, some way, with a Byard touchdown pass on a fake punt, they found a way to beat the Texans. In large part, thanks to Jadeveon Clowney's 15-yard penalty on the bench that helped the Titans win that game. But, Mark, I mean, we saw how bummed out I got during the draft shows. I'm pretty bummed out, right? They don't have any tackles. They don't have a single starting caliber tackle in the NFL right now. Tackle.
Okay. No, they do not.
Zero.
This is an important position.
I will not argue with you on that point.
They like tackle. This is not like safety
or
like punt return. Like, this is an important position against a team that has pass rushers, and they don't have a tackle.
And
they're going to have to go silent count.
I know.
And they practiced the silent count with Taylor Lewan all week.
I know.
And so now they're putting in some bum who can't play and they know can't play and hasn't practiced the silent count. And they haven't been in front of a crowd in over a year and a half. And now they're going, oh, my God.
Hey, how much you are? You're 6 feet, what, 330? I mean, you know they can call you and put you at left tackle. Man.
Oh, man, I'm a foot too short and 100 pounds too light. I just, oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious, guys. I'm serious. They don't have a tackle.
Hide the sharp objects.
They don't have a tackle.
No, they don't.
How are they going to win? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You need a hug, don't you, man?
What could he have possibly done to that knee in warmups?
I think he got hurt last week. Wink, wink. You got to catch it.
You think this is a loser's cramp?
No, I don't want to disrespect him, man. I'm not going to say that. I just think that.
Boy, that's pretty harsh.
I'm not going to say that. It's just that he got hurt in warmups. Leave it at that. He got
Mark,
hurt
how are your thoughts?
Well, it certainly makes this a lot tougher.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And you're going to see a lot of max protect probably today.
So what formation do you get in?
Well, you send A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out and hope they can beat their corners.
Yeah, but then if you don't have no protection, I mean, if you go 12.
You're in max protect.
I know.
If you can't protect your quarterback in max protect, then there's really.
So that's basically like a 12
personnel. What are you going to double max protect? I'm not sure.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, you're going to go like a 12 personnel, like what you said.
You know what you do?
What you do?
You put your head through your legs and kiss your rear end goodbye. That's what you do.
And then watch, they end up winning the game, man, after all this stuff.
Since Vrabel has been the coach, every game that they've gone into that's like this where you're like, they have no chance to win.
And they win it.
They find a way to win that game, so I understand that. But they don't have a tackle.
Yeah.
They don't have a starting
caliber. You act like that's a big deal.
Huge against this.
They don't have a starting caliber tackle. A tackle. Like, that's a bit, like, oh, my God. Dylan Raiden's active today. Maybe he makes his NFL debut. Silent count. Is there any way that this is going to work, silent count with backup tackles, when they haven't practiced?
If Dylan Raiden gets out there playing in Seattle, you want to talk about a baptism under fire.
How many pops until you take Tannehill out of the game today?
He's going to stay in the game. He's a tough guy.
I'm saying, if you get Tannehill popped pretty well and all of a sudden you're losing to Seattle,
yeah,
you're going to leave him back out there with that offensive line? Who's playing offensive line today? Right now, off the top of my head. I hope it's Ty Sambrylo at left tackle, though I'm worried it's going to be Kendall Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Saffold at left guard. I can't believe I'm saying this. I would consider kicking Saffold out to tackle today.
I mean, you're going to have to. But here's what – that goes back to Todd Downey again. But here's what they can do. To eliminate the rush or the pass rush or trying to stop the run, quick passes. You're going to have to go more to the quick game, kind of like with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go more to the quick game because that eliminates the rush and eliminates the pass.
No tackle. What do we make of Jayon Brown being out today?
Well, that's another guy who was going to help them. You know, obviously, in terms of coverage on defense. You know, that's, you know, Jayon Brown has become an essential part of that defense.
Yeah.
And not having him in there, not good.
I'll say this.
I thought losing David Long was significant because of the way that he had come on the inside.
Injured guys. You know the old saying in football, dumb guys stay dumb, fat guys stay fat, injured guys stay injured. Uh-huh. Taylor Lewan, injured last year, yeah. Missed games. Now he's injured again. I don't know if you can rely on that. Jayon Brown has been injured significantly over the last couple of years. And I like Jayon Brown. I think Jayon Brown's better than Rashawn Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think they can rely on Jayon Brown. And this is a mess. I mean, what we're looking at right now with the Titans, I mean, I am almost borderline total meltdown because this is a total mess, and the Titans are going to get embarrassed in Seattle today because they're caught with their pants down because they have no depth on their football team.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's how you win as a team or be a contender is if you have depth, and we really don't see that. I mean, especially with the left tackle. And I mean, who
they don't even have a right tackle.
I mean, I don't know. But here's the thing, we say this and we laugh and we joke, but Mike Vrabel always finds a way and figures out a way to win a big game like this. I know everybody's like, oh, there's no possible way, but it goes back to your leader. Your leader's built for this. He's been through all this stuff. He's been through the mess. He's been through it last year, so he's gonna figure out a way. No, I'm not convinced. I'm sorry. I tried my best.
I tried my best. When I see Lawan's out, and here's the other thing about Lawan. You can't count on him. You can't count on him. Guy gets PED suspensions. Guy gets, you know, tears his ACL. Now he's tweaked his knee. And when you pay a guy $14-plus million to be your left tackle, mm-hmm. you have to be able to rely on him.
True.
And it's not his fault. I mean, the PEDs probably are his fault. But it's not his fault. But, I mean, you can't rely on him.
True.
Like, the Titans have to start making plans for what their long-term, you know, options are at left tackle. But it's a mess. It's a mess right now. This game, this could get out of hand.
Mark,
this could get out of hand, and Tannehill could get killed.
Look at Mark over there. Mark, you need a hug too, man?
I'm trying to think of a way.
But
you know, the NFL is goofy. I mean, it really is. And this could be the kind of game where the Titans keep it close.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying they're going to win. But, you know, just remember, it's going to make it even more imperative for the Titans to shorten the game and run the football effectively.
Let's take a look at Mike Vrabel's key to the game. We'll just do one key right here, but that is turning the page. The inactive list of Mike Vrabel's key to the game is brought to you by Hillside Medical Clinic every week. Mike Vrabel talking about turning the page from that disastrous Arizona game to Seattle today.
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be the same every week. You know, whether you win or you lose, you have to clear it and prepare for the next opponent. And this is obviously a huge challenge for us, one that we're excited to get ready for. You know, learn their personnel, understand what it's going to take to go on the road and win out there, which is difficult. You know, I mean, they've only lost, you know, maybe 8 times in 3 years, in the last 3 years, including, you know, playoffs and everything else. So there's a lot of success in that stadium. We understand that. And, you know, we'll have to do everything, you know, that we can do to prepare for that, to go out there and give ourselves a chance. Mm.
How hard is it going to be in that stadium, Chris Sanders, with a backup left tackle who probably hasn't practiced a silent count?
I mean, it's going to be tough because they're 17 and 18 in home openers. And then also the last time they lost a home opener was when Mike Holmgren was the coach in 2008. So all the things are against the Tennessee Titans. You don't have a left tackle. You really don't have a right tackle. You got Farley that's in there. You got all these things that are against the Tennessee Titans. But it's just I have this weird, crazy feeling that the Tennessee Titans are going to, just like what Mark Howard said, is they're going to keep it close or they're going to find a way to win. Because just like he said, the NFL is goofy. It is goofy. The team that you think is going to dominate is the team that loses. And the team you think is going to lose comes out winning. So I don't know. I know it's going to be a struggle with all those guys that we just named that are out. But I still think that if they can go down there and stay to the process, you never know what might happen.
Jayon Brown, by the way, injured a hamstring. So that's why he's out, did not practice on Friday. I'm guessing that he injured it on Thursday. Yeah. Chris has to take off to NBA's football practice. The NBA Big Red have a big game this weekend. So,
yes,
Chris, we will see you next week
as we get
set for the Titans and the Colts. Mark Howard with us. TD is in Seattle.
Let's go.
He's got a video of Taylor Lewan walking off the field. We'll ask TD what happened to Taylor. And we'll get the latest from Seattle, and we'll do that coming up next.
Appreciate
it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Live at Corner Pub in Cool Springs, where the news is out. Taylor Lewan injured in warm-ups, getting ready for the Titans and the Seahawks. We go on the scene to Seattle, where Teron Davenport is standing by, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, freedomtireguys.com. TD, what happened to Taylor Lewan? That's the thing we keep wondering around here, as he is out with a knee injury from warmups. What did you see? What have you heard on the Taylor Lewan front, TD?
Lewan was out there working his normal pregame stuff with Coach Keith Carter. He was hitting the bags. I actually had a video, and right after I posted the video where he was hitting the bag and just kind of like working on driving and just reach blocks and those type of things, he went down and he was holding his knee, and then next thing you know, he popped up, and then he walked off. And as he walked off, he had a noticeable limp. It was Coach Keith Carter with him, and right before they went in, I saw Keith Carter pat him on the shoulder. And at that point, that's when it kind of seemed like, hey, you know what, this may not be good. And obviously, he was listed as inactive, and here we are.
TD, how worried are we that that is the knee that is recovering from the ACL injury and that this could have something to do with that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a concern and something to be worried about. I don't want to say which knee it was because I was not sure, because I looked over, and by the time I looked over there, he was holding it, and he just got up. So I did not see which knee it was. We're still working to try to get that information, but as you know, the Titans are very tight-lipped when it comes to the injury side of things.
We're speaking to Teron Davenport, of course, Titans beat writer for ESPN.com. TD, I said before, you know, it was important for them to run the football effectively today. How much is that heightened by Lewan's injury, the need to shorten the game?
Yeah, it's imperative. And, you know, the whole idea, run left, right? You know, that's the hat that Lewan wears. That might be a little more difficult to do this week, obviously, with Lewan being out. But I tell you what, man, this crowd, they're ready to go. It's going to be loud in here. I'm looking up at the top of the stadium. You got the sound barriers that kind of like bounce the sound down onto the field. And one of the things that you have to do is take the crowd away. How do you take the crowd away? You stuff the football down their throat. And that's why I asked Derrick Henry earlier this week, last week on Thursday, just about getting off to a fast start and running the football, because that's mandatory when you have a hostile environment like here.
What about the injury to Firkser? How do you think that changes in terms of the way they use their tight ends today?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, they used a lot of 11 personnel last week. I think that's what they're going to continue to do. Fortunately for the Titans, you know, Josh Reynolds is healthy. So I think you're going to see a steady mix of that 11 personnel. And obviously it's going to take away from what they like to do in the red zone, short yardage situation, because Anthony Firkser is one of their best guys when it comes to getting open immediately and creating that separation. So it is going to have somewhat of a factor.
Teron Davenport with us. TD's appearance on the pregame show brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online, freedomtireguys.com. TD, how is this team going to line up on the offensive line? We saw Kendall Lamb go out there for Lewan last week and was not impressive. Is there a chance we see Dylan Radins maybe at tackle or Ty Sam Brilo line up at tackle today? What do we think the Titans' options are? And how hard is it going to be to keep Tannehill safe today?
Yeah, I think it is going to, in fact, be Kendall Lamb. I wouldn't put Radins out there in that situation. You know, this crowd is loud. This is a guy who hasn't played a lot of left tackle. You're going to put him out there, and they have to communicate and run, you know, with the silent count and those type of things. I wouldn't set him up like that. So, I mean, you signed Kendall Lamb to come in, right? He's wearing number 71. You know, the last guy to wear number 71 was Dennis Kelly. He's replaced him, so now it's going to be time for him to step up.
What about two on the defensive side of the ball? They were outstanding, Russell Wilson and the Seattle offense. But what about those two receivers, Lockett and Metcalf, against the Titans cornerbacks?
Yeah, that's the big test, right? And Metcalf is just unbelievably big. So you could come up and try to challenge him at the line of scrimmage, but he's very physical and he can embarrass you there. But then on top of that, he has the speed to outrun pretty much anybody in the league. I mean, this is a guy that competed against world-class sprinters and didn't look too slow doing it. So he's in a serious issue. But the one to watch is Tyler Lockett. I mean, he and Russell Wilson, they have that just ability to just finish each other's sentences. They're always on the same page. So many times you have those broken plays and those type of things. And what ends up happening is he turns his route upfield or he'll roll to one side of the field when Russell Wilson is going, and they connect for big plays. And that's what they do, man. Tyler Lockett is a serious weapon. So those two together are a problem. But then also you work off of that because they use Metcalf, his speed and the way he threatens defenses. They use him to stretch it out. Then they have stuff with the tight end and other players coming underneath.
TD, what do you make of the way that the offensive skill players, we know the line was a mess last week, and without Taylor Lewan, who vowed to play better this week, they're probably going to be a mess too. But the offensive skill players that we know have talent in this league, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill, with all the issues they're going to have today, you know, the noise, the injuries, how much is on their shoulders to be able to get this team to rise above it?
It's all on their shoulders. I think really in this situation, especially like you have Jamal Adams, where they like to rush off of the edge, when you have these type of players that are able, and Darrell Taylor, who had a really good week last week as well. I mean, there's so many weapons that this team has to attack. You have to, it's all about pitch and catch, quick throws, get the ball to your guys on the perimeters. Let A.J. Brown, I mean, that's another thing that would deflate this crowd, right? A.J. Brown on a slant, runs through a tackle and outruns everybody to the end zone, it'll be silent in here. And that's what they need to do, those type of things. Take advantage of their guys who can make plays. And I think A.J. Brown has a big game today.
It was kind of funny, TD. I don't know if you were watching the Washington Giants game Thursday, seeing Adam Humphrey playing for, you know, for Washington.
Yeah.
But what about Josh Reynolds making his Titans debut today? As the slot guy.
Yeah, Mark, your timing is impeccable because Josh Reynolds is coming out right now with the skill position players, and he is, in fact, making his Titans debut, so it's going to be good. The thing that he brings to the table that I don't know that Rodgers does is his ability to stretch the football field. He's really good at that. When you have a quarterback that could get the ball to him down the field, he didn't have that with the Rams in his career, but Tannehill, you know, that's one of the reasons he wanted to come here.
TD, last thing for you. Randy Bullock, I asked you last week, how did Michael Bagley look in warm-ups? I think this is just going to be a question that we end every TD segment on the pregame show with. How has Randy Bullock, the flavor of the week at kicker for the Titans, looked in warm-ups?
Yeah, I mean, he looked okay to me. I didn't see him miss any or anything like that, but we know that what you do in pregame doesn't always transfer over to the actual game itself. So we're just going to have to see what happens, man.
I got to tell you, if you were going to bet anything, it'd be when he goes out to kick. You know, all right, 20 before you see it. What do you think? TD, as always, yeah, we appreciate it. We look forward to your breakdowns. Whiteboard Wednesday. You'll be on with Darren Donick and Chase tomorrow. Of course, the TD Power Hour on Thursday, talking with TD Podcast. And pretty much anywhere, if you try to access the Titans, there is something TD there for you to see. Appreciate you, TD.
All right, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Yep, TD. By the way, did his first national radio show with Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio Friday night. I thought he was fantastic doing that as well. The TD segment brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com.
He's got a good radio voice.
Oh, no, TD's – the thing I've always said about TD is I think TD's biggest strength is I think one of these – someone's going to hire him as a draft guy because he watches so much tape and breaks it down so much, and the draft is such a hot commodity that first network that hires TD to do draft breakdowns, and pays them, I mean, they're going to get somebody that'll be there for 15 years doing that. But
sorry, Joe Burrow has thrown about 7 interceptions today.
I have seen that. There was a disaster in the Indianapolis Colts game for all of us as the Rams fumbled a punt into the end zone that was picked up by the Colts. They took a 21-17 lead, and then Matthew Stafford in 3 plays just goes right down the field for a touchdown. So the Rams took the lead back in that one. And I think with all these injuries the Titans have, if you're a Titan fan, the number one key to today's game absolutely, positively has to be that you pray that the Rams hold on for the rest of this fourth quarter. And you pray that Cleveland holds on to their 24-21 lead right now in the fourth quarter over the Texans, as Chris's Texans don't look that bad and right now could probably beat the Titans.
Hanging tough.
I mean, this is – I am trying to not just be Debbie Downer today.
It's the second week of the season, dude. We got 15 after that.
I know, but this team sucked last week. And their loudmouth left tackle that they can't rely on is hurt. And the backup that they brought in to replace the perfect backup they had because he made too much money and they cut him, this guy stinks, and they're putting him at left tackle. And they got a practice squad guy at right tackle. And they got a guy who got cut by the Jaguars as their starting tight end. And they're playing Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks this week.
It's all right. It's all good.
Their first-round pick last year was supposed to play tackle. He went off the reservation. Their first-round pick this year can't stay healthy. I mean, I'm trying, Mark. I'm trying.
All right.
I'm trying, guys. I'm sorry. You know, hey, we've seen Vrabel win games like this that they had no business winning and they won. But, this is just... The one thing I
this is week two.
Here's the one thing I appreciate. Taylor Lewan's complete unreliability, which I think we can agree with that you can't rely on Taylor Lewan over the last couple of years. Between the bad play last week, the injury, the PED suspension, the bad play when he first came back from his PED suspension, whatever. When he's good, he's good. But when he's not good, he's not. This is going to make that $15 million question the Titans have this offseason a lot easier.
I think when you start doing stuff like that, you make your job even more difficult. When you start giving up on guys, and they're not afraid to do that, but I think Lewan has played well enough when he's out there, you know, to merit bringing him back. I don't think, at least in my mind, he's not one of the question marks. You got to start going out there looking for left tackles. When you don't even have a right one, they need to look for a tight end in the next draft. I mean, they got some areas they need to address.
They are a mess right now.
Well, and they're starting to get old.
Then again, they were a mess, and Ryan Tannehill took them to the AFC title game. So we have seen, you know, crazier things. Picks to click. Who's going to click today for the Titans in order for them to beat the Seahawks? We'll do that next. Mark Howard's here. We're live at the Corner Pub in Cool Springs. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, the pregame show. We'll be back. Not Chris Sanders. He's off with NBA football. Mark Howard here. Picks to click are actually presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Our picks to click on NFL pregame brought to you every week by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I do have Chris Sanders' picks to click in front of me, Mark Howard. His offensive pick to click, surprise, surprise, Ryan Tannehill. His defensive pick to click, Jackrabbit Jenkins. We'll get to those in a second.
Oh, boy. Is he an optimist?
Here's my offensive pick to click. What would you like? You know what? You go first. Your offensive pick to click.
My offensive pick to click is going to be Derrick Henry. He is certainly going to be given the opportunity to carry the offense today. So that's my guy. On defense, I'm going to say Kevin Byard. I like the way he played last week. I think against a quarterback like Russell Wilson, we're going to see his abilities as a center fielder. He picked one off last week. I think he has at least one pick today.
I'm going to go, my offensive pick to click today is going to be, and this is almost an homage to the GM because it used to drive me nuts when Floyd would do this. I think the interior of the offensive line has to play their butts off today because the tackles are a mess. A mess with no Taylor Lewan out there and with a third stringer and David Quesenberry at right tackle. And think about it this way. Last year, David Quesenberry was the third string left tackle. He's now the starting right tackle, which is bad. But Kendall Lamb, who's going to be on the left side, was not good enough to be better than the third string guy at right tackle. So that interior offensive line, to your point about running the ball with Derrick Henry, that interior of the offensive line better be mauling dudes to let Derrick Henry run up the middle, because if he doesn't, they are screwed today.
I think that's fairly accurate.
And if I had to throw one other one in there, honestly, Todd Downing's got to do something to protect these tackles. And I don't know what it's going to – here's what I think they got to do. I think they need to go six offensive linemen on every play. Eligible tackle every play.
Okay.
I know you think that's stupid.
Well, but they're essentially going to do that anyway, Jared, because I think they're going to have two tights at least. So he's going to be so that extra tight end will essentially be a sixth offensive lineman who will be eligible to catch passes.
Right, and I'd rather just have another lineman run out there. Yeah, like right. That, like instead of the facade with Pruitt and Swaim of like, hey, these guys might actually run off into the pattern and catch, forget about it. Just put the two tackles, just put them out there. Have four tackles. Can you have four? Can you have two eligible tackles on one play?
Like bring in passes?
We'll bring in Sam Brilo and Raidens.
Well, yeah, but they're essentially not tackles, though.
But you make them the extra, they're tight ends. But they're better blockers than tight ends. I just think they got to think about it. Just think about it. My defensive pick to click, it's got to be Bud Dupree. I mean, in all seriousness, when you pay the guy $1 billion to come in and rush the passer, he's got to rush the passer. And he didn't rush the passer last week. And I know it's early, and you're not going to say, okay, that five-year contract was a total bust because it didn't work in the first 2 weeks. But wouldn't you like to see something out of it? And Russell's going to run around, and the only way that you do anything that keeps Russell from running around and doing whatever he pleases is to knock Russell down. So I know what Harold Landry can do. I know it's not going to be good enough. I know that they're going to keep Jeffrey Simmons from taking over the game on the defensive line. So my pick to click is Bud Dupree. Do you have any faith in Bud Dupree today?
Jury remains out. I just don't think he's healthy. And that really sucks to be in that position.
And those are our picks to click. Again, picks to click all season long on the pregame show, brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment. We just brought up Bud Dupree. And I have one really alarming trend that is bothering me with John Robinson. And I like John Robinson a lot. I think, Mark, you were here for the bad general manager. So we know, five winning seasons and five tries. Rustin Webster.
Listen, I was here for, obviously, Floyd, who I really liked. And then there was Silent Mike. And then there was Invisible Rustin. And now there's John Robinson.
And I'll give John Robinson credit, five winning seasons and five tries is nothing to scoff at, especially when you inherit the worst team in the NFL. It wasn't like he was Larry Coker inheriting, the national champion Miami Hurricanes with all those NFL players.
This regime has been successful, but it's frustrating because they've fallen short in some area. They've made it really hard for themselves, but go ahead.
Well, I just am getting tired of how much they're relying on unreliable guys. Bud Dupree's coming off of a knee injury, and they're relying on him. And you're like, well, I just don't think he's healthy. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think he's healthy. And he's an unreliable guy. Jayon Brown's been hurt now 3 seasons in a row at critical times. That's not reliable. Derrick Henry is reliable. But other than that, Taylor Lewan is not reliable. At times, Ben Jones has been injured, and you can't rely on all.
Yeah, but he goes out and he plays hurt.
Julio Jones is unreliable from an injury standpoint. I mean, I feel like they are banking too much on unreliable players in order to be successful in the NFL. And that's starting to drive me crazy. They took a guy with a back injury in the draft who, you know, last week he's not ready to get out there and play, and this week he's hurt with something else. And I just think that if you keep relying on unreliable guys, I used to joke about this with Floyd, and I used to say Floyd wasn't racist, Floyd wasn't sexist, Floyd wasn't elitist, Floyd wasn't anything-ist, except he was an interest. And if you were injured, he didn't like you. And he wouldn't draft you, and he wouldn't sign you, because he doesn't like injured players. And I thought it was almost to a fault, where it's like, Floyd, not every guy you draft is going to have a clean bill of health. But it's like, nope, don't want him, he's injured. But
he kept Yancey Thigpen on the roster.
Yeah, but he got hurt after they had signed him. And then once they signed him and he kept getting hurt, then they cut him. He's an injurist. Doesn't like injured guys.
And nobody does.
John Robinson loves injured guys.
I don't think he I think he wishes.
Davis, Simmons, Farley.
He takes a chance on those guys. Simmons has, you know, been issue-free since he's been here.
I know. You know, sometimes when you rely on an unreliable guy, it doesn't bite you in the butt. Right now, though, it feels like some of the relying on unreliable guys is starting to bite him in the butt.
Okay.
No bite in the butt?
To a certain degree. You know, like I said, talk to me in about 10 weeks. And if Caleb Farley still hasn't been out there much, if Dylan Radin's still hasn't sniffed the field, then we need to have a conversation. But I'm not ready, you know, to bail on this draft class.
Oh, I'm ready to lose my mind for the next 3 hours, because I feel like that's what's going to happen with this. Do you know what's crazy? I thought the Titans were going to win. Like, when I woke up this morning, I thought the Titans were going to win today. Then I saw the injury report, and now I'm worried that this is going to be.
I know.
I'm worried this is going to be 59-0 in New England.
God, I remember those days.
That was an all-timer.
Or the disaster in Green Bay.
That team was just awful, though.
Yes.
Like, that team was terrible. This team's not. But I am worried I'm going to look into the camera.
Does that mean Vince Young is starting next week?
It might have to. If Tannehill gets killed, and then Logan comes in and gets killed, and then Matt Barkley, you know, somehow they decide to change rules, let him play, and then he gets killed, then yeah, okay. Your next option is Vince Young. I'm going to look right into the camera so everybody can cold take me if this becomes an issue. I am worried today's game is going to be 59-0 at New England bad. I am really that worried after I saw the injury report. Again, as I said, I woke up this morning, I thought they were going to win. Where I sit here with Mark Howard, who has his hands in his, has his head in his hands, I am worried this could be 59-0 today. On the road, at that stadium, first-time fans are there, Russell Wilson at quarterback, great defense, pass rushers. Oh, I'm worried. Let's take a look at scores. We'll take a look at the sports books. Getting you set. I'm sure the number has shifted some. In Indianapolis, we're tied at 24 between the Rams and the Colts.
Rams driving.
Rams are driving, and we all need the Rams to win, because if they don't, the Titans are going to be in a little bit of trouble, I would assume, after today's blowout. But they are inside the Indianapolis 40. The Texans trail the Browns in the fourth quarter, 31-21. The Bears, thanks in large part to Joe Burrow, are up 20-10 over the Bengals. The Panthers up 17-7 over the Saints. The Broncos up 20-7 over Jacksonville. The Bills 28-0 in what looks to be a blowout against the Dolphins. The Patriots 22-6 over the Jets. The 49ers 14-3 over the Eagles. And the Raiders all over the Steelers, 23-14. We will get we'll take a look at the sports books, and our game day predictions are next, live from Corner Pub in Cool Springs. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Corner Pub in Cool Springs right now, keeping an eye on Indianapolis, the Rams. Indianapolis and the Los Angeles Rams, a big game of interest as the Titans are concerned. It does look like the Houston Texans are going to lose to the Cleveland Browns, so there's good news there if you're a Titan fan. The Jags are a complete and total mess, so there's good news there. 27-24, Rams, 2:23 to go. Carson Wentz looks like he is. Jacob Eason's going into the game. Jacob Eason is going into the game for the Colts. So there's good news there. Let's take a look at the sports books. at today's game for the Titans and the Seahawks. The latest odds on today's game are brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook, as we take a look at today's betting odds for the Titans and the Seahawks. As I would expect, those numbers have changed since the news that Taylor Lewan is out. As of right now, the line is still Seattle minus 6.5, the over under 53.5 points in today's game. And if you take a look deeper, as there are more markets, more things you can get in on this game, anytime touchdown scorer for the game, Chris Carson leads the way at minus 195, Derrick Henry 150, DK Metcalf 125, Tyler Lockett 110, and AJ Brown and Julio Jones plus 115 and plus 165 respectively. Are you surprised that the number has not moved since the news that Jayon Brown and Taylor Lewan are out today?
Well, not Jayon Brown. I'm a little surprised about Lewan. We'll see.
Player,
it's always interesting to me, Jared, how the odds makers, look at certain injuries. I agree with you. If you're a knowledgeable Titans fan, you might want to at least think about, getting on a sports book and putting a few bucks on Seattle, because it would seem like they'd have the advantage, and Easton throws an interception.
He sucks. He sucks. I watched him in the preseason, and he sucks. So the Rams, it looks like they're going to win. Jacob Eason just threw an interception up 27-24, and it wasn't even like a good interception.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just crap.
Well, the Rams pressure is going to bother you anyway. And that's a tough defense to face, just coming into the game ice cold.
Oh,
In all fairness.
Yeah, having no real NFL experience, coming into the game ice cold, Jalen Ramsey with the interception. But as I said, I do think Eason sucks. The passing line numbers, over under passing for Russell Wilson, 274.5 today. Ryan Tannehill, 257.5. What do you think of those two numbers?
About what you would expect. If the Titans get behind, Tannehill's going to have to throw the ball. It's weird. I just want them to play better today. If they win, great. If they don't, let's be honest, this was a game that even, in the best situation, we thought the Titans might lose this game. Mm-hmm. So I just want them to play better. And I think they will. And I hate to say that, because that sort of makes it a moral victory. But they need to play well. I think everything else after that takes care of itself. We've seen now through 2 weeks that the Colts have their own issues. And they start a quarterback, to be honest. And with Wentz getting hurt, you wonder if that carries over into next week. Do we see Jacob Eason?
Oh, my Lord, I hope so.
Well,
there's
a reason why he's in. Because Wentz
is clearly hurt.
Yeah, Wentz brought the Colts back, and they were in the lead.
By the way, shocking. It took two games for Carson Wentz to get hurt. By the way, the rushing total, first of all, Chris Carson is listed at 67.5 yards. I just slammed the over there. Derrick Henry, 90.5 yards. I'd slam the under on that one.
Well, you are the eternal optimist, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I'm just keeping it real.
I know. Listen, you know what? You're not wrong.
I mean, I am.
But the thing with Henry that makes it hard to bet the under, he can bust one play.
And he can get it. Yeah. I mean, that's. And if you're the Titans, honestly, you got to hope Henry does bust one today, because you're going to need that kind of play. You're going to need things to happen that are all kooky and crazy today.
Well, this is the day you might see another fake, a punt fake. This is the day where Vrabel's going to have to resort to whatever he can do to maybe, spark the team. He tried that fake last week deep in their own territory.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of risk there if that thing blows up. But I understand what he was trying to do. He's trying to wake the team up a little bit. And that's the thing about Vrabel that I like. And I think if there's one thing that's improved about Vrabel over the years, is his game management and his decisions.
Time now for our game day picks. By the way, the latest odds on today's game are brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app, and my official number one sportsbook app as well. Our final game picks today are brought to you by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Excuse me, to my friends at Social Furniture. Chris Sanders has given me his final pick for today. He's going Seahawks 24, Titans 14. So he would take the 6 points, Seattle minus 6.5. Mark Howard, you and Chris both 0-1 after having picked the Titans last week.
Well, I picked Arizona to cover, though, last week.
You did pick them to cover, so I'll give you credit there. Your final pick today, who wins and why?
Seattle 31-17. I just don't see it. I just don't see a road to victory for the Titans. And if that makes me a pessimist, I plead guilty.
I'm going to stick with you on the 31. I'm going to go 31-6. I'm serious. Like, I just don't. And it's not. And again, I'm not here to sit there and just go bananas all the time, even though I'm sure you probably think that, because anytime that there's something I don't like, I lose my mind. But I just, no Jayon Brown, no Anthony Firkser, no Taylor Lewan, no tackles, no tight ends, the best middle linebackers out against Russell Wilson on the road in Seattle. I think this one has beatdown written all over it. Give me the Seahawks 31-6. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will be back next week, rock bottom, before the Titans and the Colts. Titans could be playing for first place, though, on Sunday, which is amazing to think about. But that could be the case. We will see you then, of course, Stillman & Company, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. For everybody here, thanks to the Corner Pub. This has been the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.